Dear Lord, I do want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for the blessings you bestow upon us. Thank you for a copy of your word. I pray, Father, that we would all have ears to hear tonight. The message would be relevant. It would change our lives. We'd keep looking unto Jesus. I pray you bless us. Meet the needs that we have here tonight. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's all stand. We'll read two verses. And then we'll sit back down and get into the sermon. You say, man, you just messed up the order. It's the order I make, and that is what it is. Notice what it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Let's read these two verses together. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. That would be in the New Testament, John. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. All right, all together. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You may be seated. Now, what a tremendous title for God is found in these verses. And how wonderful it is for us believers to know the God of all comfort. If there was ever a time when people need comfort, it is in this day and age in which we live. Men's hearts are troubled, and they're failing them for fear. Evil men happen to be waxing worse and worse. We live in a perverse, corrupt generation. Pre-tribulation events seem to be upon us. Mainline Christian denominations have departed from the faith, and anti-Christian sentiment is on the rise. Sin has become open. Perverts of all stripes are loud and proud, and their filthy, unnatural behavior is being promoted. Evil is called good, and good is called evil. And certainly no one can deny that these are turbulent times. It is as if we are living in the days of Noah, waiting for God's judgment to fall. Yet even in these unsettled times, there are those who foolishly turn away from the source of all comfort. And they try everything and anything they believe will bring them rest to their hearts and peace to their worried minds. Others simply try to forget their situation through the means of drugs and alcohol, while others don't believe life is no longer worth living, so they commit suicide. Oh, what we need is not more pills. We don't need any more shrinks, not some temporary escape from reality. What we need today is the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. I wonder if you have ever noticed how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all involved in providing comfort to us. In our text verse, we read the Father is mentioned as the one who comforts. Verse 3 tells us, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Then you read the beautiful name the Lord Jesus gave to the Holy Spirit when he was with his disciples in the upper room at the Last Supper. He told them this in John 14, verse 16 through 18. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. How grateful we believers should be that Jesus always has his prayers heard and answered. For his prayers in these verses resulted in a comforter that dwells within us today. When Jesus announced that he was leaving them, even if it was just for a little while, it left the disciples with troubled hearts. So he tells him, I will not leave you comfortless. Now the word comfortless means desolate. It means to be orphaned. And it would be the Holy Spirit who would fill that vacant place in their heart when Jesus left them. The promise of another comforter was fulfilled at Pentecost when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And from then on, we read in Acts 9:31, they were found walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit as he would encourage and comfort those early believers in their trials. Now, the Greek word comforter is composed of two words meaning called and along with, or one who is called to another's aid. Now, the story is told of a missionary in Africa who sought for a word or phrase which could properly translate the word comforter describing the Holy Spirit. Now, he couldn't find a word for years that would fit the native tongue of the people. Well, after 3 years, he finally went to an African village, and they were holding court there. And he heard the name Senga Mukwashi. He then asked the old chief after the court convened what this man with that name had to do with the proceedings. Well, the chief explained that Senga Mukwashi was a title given to the one whose duty it was to interest himself in the native people and stand by them in any trouble that they found themselves in. He pleads their case, he said. He is known as the comforting advocate. That day, the missionary found a word worthy of the word comforter that describes the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wondered at the way your poor stammering prayers have been answered? How your life is so richly blessed even though your faith is quite weak? How about you bearing up so well in times of trials and times of sorrows? Or how your service to the Lord was used to touch so many lives? It is due to our comforter. It is due to the Holy Spirit who comes alongside us and aids us. Then Jesus, God the Son, is one who is a comforter as well. He did say, and I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That word another means one of the same kind. And Jesus was telling them, you know what? I comforted you while I was with you. And now I'm going to send another comforter in answer to the prayer the Father will bring you, the Holy Spirit. The word another means another of the same kind. When Christ's earthly ministry was prophesied about by Isaiah, he wrote this in Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now here's something quite interesting. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, we read this about Jesus. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now the word advocate is exactly the same Greek word that is used in John 14:16 that is translated comforter. Yes, we as believers, we have two paracletes, one in heaven and the other within us, and both come to help us in our time of need. The Holy Spirit pleads with us in our hearts and produces peace and comfort within. But Jesus pleads for us in heaven before the Father's throne. We only have one advocate in the presence of the Father, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's ears are open to his every plea that is presented on our behalf. Then we have one who is below, who indwells with us, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. So we can clearly see God the Father is our comforter. God the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And so is God the Son, Jesus Christ. Now when you think of the wonderful ministry of comfort that the Godhead provides, I hope your thoughts go to the fact that, you know what? There's also comfort in the Scriptures. Comfort in the Scriptures. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we read this. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Then in Psalm 119 verse 50, it tells us, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The God of all comfort will comfort us through his word. Have you ever had trials or adversities that come into your life and you get to wondering why? You see, it's not any result of anything bad that you did. You haven't done anything wrong, but it certainly still has come into your life and you wonder, why has this happening to me? Well, don't you find comfort in knowing that God is going to let those trials come into your life and he's going to mean them for good? Does not Romans 8:28 tell us? And we know, and we what? Know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You say, preacher, those things haven't worked out for my good. You are simply telling on yourself that you don't love God as you ought. Have you ever felt lonely? Perhaps abandoned? And so much so that you believed you didn't have a friend in the world who cared about you? Have you not found comfort in the truth of what is written in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, which tells us about the Lord? And he tells us, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Or the phrase found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, when it says, he careth for you. Have you bid goodbye to a saved loved one? Watch their body being lowered in a grave? And your heart is broken and you long to see them again? Have you not found comfort in what is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18? Turn with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. Here we read, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Thank the Lord. Concerning them which are asleep, or those who have died, those who have passed on, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Meaning these folks who have passed on are saved. And those who are passed on and are lost, others sorrow and they have no hope of ever seeing them again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, what? Comfort one another with these words. Have you ever had a need, great or small, and maybe perhaps even got tore out of the frame over it, and then we got comforted because we read this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I realize that our congregation is growing older. It's not growing any younger. And maybe you live for the Lord. Maybe you supported his work faithfully. and your days of employment are come to an end or have already ended. And you start to wonder, how in the world am I going to make it? What am I going to live on? Do I have enough in my old age? Well, do you not find comfort in what is written in Psalm 37, 25? It says, I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, I remember years ago, I had nothing saved up. We weren't, you know, I was thinking, man, you know what, I'm going to work all my life. And I still plan on doing it, as long as I'm mentally and physically fit. And mentally, it's getting a little touchy. You know, but and as long as I am being used by the Lord, I want a pastor. Now, so I remember thinking, you know, what are we going to do? And I thought, well, Lord, you'll take care of us. And I read this verse, and I found comfort in that. I remember going with our brother-in-law, and I was riding with him, and he asked me, he said, so what is your retirement plan? I said, Psalm 37, 25. He says, that all you got? I said, that's all I need. I said, I can look back over our life and see how God has taken care of Connie and I through thick and through thin. And I said, he hadn't disappointed us back then, and he's not going to disappoint us in the future. I said, all we got to do is continue to live righteously, and we can claim Matthew 6:33 on top of that. But you know what? So many people don't believe those promises. You know what? They try to accumulate all they can and have all this money, and they make all their decisions based on finances instead of what God's will is for them, even in their old age. They don't seem to trust the Lord. Have you ever feared death? Were you afraid the day of your departure was nigh at hand? Then did you not have a comforting thought that Paul expressed in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, where it tells us, we are confident. We are what? I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. When we saw Brother Negley take his last breath, and the two nurses came in and they checked for his lungs and checked his heart to make sure there was nothing going on. When the second nurse did so, he was crying. He had tears in his eyes. And he looked at us and said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I thought, you know what? That guy's got it. He understands. He is a believer. He has no fear of death. But he did want to comfort those who were grieving over Brother Negley's passing. With such a promise, I wonder why every believer hasn't signed a do not resuscitate order. I'll tell you what, I got me one. And if Connie says, you know, hook him up. Let them live on that machine. If I ever come out of it, I'm going to be one upset man. I could have been with Jesus. Don't deny me that privilege.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. I don't think she would be so cruel as to keep me around for selfish reasons. The God of all comfort can and does use his word to comfort us. Sometimes he uses others, believers, to help us go through what they have already went through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, 3 through 6, it says this, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now the words comfort or consolation are repeated 10 times in verses 3 through 7. And it is the same Greek word which means to come alongside and help. You know, when we experience hardship, when we're going through times of suffering, we are not to let those times go to waste. We ought to use that same comfort whereby we were comforted to help somebody else go through the problem that they are going through. A famous preacher once said, "I never had a trial, but when I got out of the deep river, I found some poor pilgrim on the bank that I was able to help by that very experience." Only those who have known similar trouble and heartache can provide comfort to those in the midst of what they have already went through. You know, you read of Job's three friends. And what does Job say about them? He said they were what? Miserable comforters. For they had never been where he was. Because of that, it was impossible for them to come alongside and help. Instead of providing help, they were looking for a reason to blame Job for the trials that he was going through. I know there have been times I have tried to comfort one without knowing what they were going through. And at times I said some things that were better left unsaid. And I'll try my best to put myself in their shoes. And I show up and I let them know that I care. I listen to what they have to say and I will pray for them. There have been times when I have walked away and thought, I sure would have liked to have been a better comfort than I was. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us bore the nickname the Son of Consolation that was given to Barnabas? The God of the Bible is one who provides a comfort of salvation and the forgiveness of sin. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad I know where I'm going when my heart stops and my lungs no longer fill with air. You see, my sin problem, your sin problem as a believer has been taken care of. We made peace with God, and we made peace with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you recall in Matthew 9, 20 through 22, you know the story of the woman that was diseased. She had an issue of blood for 12 long years. She spent all she had on physicians of no value, and none could help her. Imagine her despair. Imagine the discouragement she must have felt, or how her hope of getting better was shattered time and time again by going from one doctor to another. Then she heard of Jesus, the great physician. She makes her through the crowd, and she touches the hem of his garment. And that touch of faith caused Jesus to stop. And he said, "Who touched me?" Now the Bible says he was pressed upon. There was a bunch of people touching him. But there was only one who touched him with the touch of faith. And she came forth confessing that it was her. And the Savior said to her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Made thee whole means more than physical healing. For when she reached out by faith, she got herself a great big Savior, and she was comforted by having her sins forgiven and having a home in heaven. One knows comfort when they have faith in Jesus. It's a Savior who reconciles us to the Father. It is a Savior who provides us a full and free redemption. It is Jesus who robes us in His righteousness and makes us fit for the Father's house. He is the way. He is the door. And it's faith in that name whereby we have peace, rest, and comfort for the troubled soul of ours. He gives us eternal life. And that ensures us that we are no longer condemned, no longer lost and undone, dead in our trespasses and sin. You ought to be comforted knowing that this earth is as close to hell as you'll ever get. For you are delivered from the wrath of God to come. You ought to know the comfort of divine forgiveness. And you know the amazing thing is, there's so many believers who continually beat themselves up time and time again over the same sin that they've asked for forgiveness for. I don't know of anything more troubling than to go from day to day with a conscience that is burdened with guilt for the wrongs that you have done, and being fully aware that things are not right between you and God. But thank God He provides comfort in forgiving us all of our transgressions. Those sins of yours are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And though they be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They're blotted out. They're buried in the deepest sea, removed as far as the east is from the west, and are forever forgotten by the Father. You may wonder, how do you know your sins are forgiven? Because these things are found in the comforting Word of God. Right. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's nothing like being saved. Yeah. Nothing like being forgiven. Right. Nothing like having a future as bright as the promises of God. Being set free from the bondage of sin and being a child of God. I'm thrilled to be saved, thrilled to have my sins forgiven. And I can truly say, gone is my debt of sin. A great change is wrought within. The debt of sin I did not pay. Someone died for me one day, sweeping my debt away. Jesus paid it all. The God of all comfort gives us the comfort of His care. He cares that we do not perish. He cares for oxen. And once we belong to Him, He to us, we are told in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, every life has trials. We all face sorrows. Being a Christian doesn't exempt us from trouble, trials, tribulation, sickness, or bereavement. And then if you live godly, you also get to face persecution as well. But God has not left us alone. He has given us the Comforter to whom we can tell all our sorrows, all our hurts, all our problems. And He comes alongside of us and He renders the aid that we need. This is what is written about the Lord in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Now the word comfort here comes from the Hebrew word meaning to sigh. I read a story that illustrates what I'm talking about. It was this little girl. She went upstairs and she was attempting to enter into her father's study where he was working and working diligently. And so she snuck on in, and when she closed the door, she closed it upon her finger and she started to cry. And he paid no attention to her. He stopped long enough to shout downstairs to his wife and say, "You better come up here and take care of your child." The mother rushed to the rescue and took her sobbing girl in her arms, planted tender kisses on her forehead while she massaged the aching finger. The girl continued to sob, and her mother said, "Does it hurt that badly?" "Yes," said the little girl, "but the worst is, Daddy didn't even say, oh." When the sorrows of life press sore upon us, our Lord is never too busy to be there. He's never too busy to see us through, and He's never unsympathetic to our hurt. He knows, He loves, and He cares. He even sighs with us. He understands and he intends to undertake for us in the difficulties we find ourselves in. And he's always there by our side. Listen to the words of this hymn. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for myrrh and song? And the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care when my way is dark? When nameless dreads and fears? As the daylight fades in the deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. It certainly is a wonderful thing to know the God of all comfort, to find comfort in the Scriptures, and to have fellow believers to comfort us as well. One thing I know is I'm glad I'm saved. And what a comfort to know I'm on my way to heaven, my sins are forgiven, and that I have one to cast all my cares upon, and I have a triune God who cares and comforts me. He'll come to me in my trials, and he will help me through them. We as a believer have a lot to be thankful for because we have the God of all comfort. He's in us. He intercedes for us on the right hand of the Father. And the Father himself is the God of all comfort. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.